We all know state government has some financial challenges in Illinois, but how did it get to this point? For answers, we turn to Chris Mooney. He's the director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. He's penned a top 10 list of reasons why the fiscal stalemate is taking place. Chris, it seems like a lot of these can be summed up by what you list as number one on the list of reasons, and that is poor financial management.
That has certainly been going on for a long time, and it's like that old one guy says, how did you go broke? And he said, well, it happened very slowly and then all of a sudden all at once, to paraphrase. And that's kind of what's been going on. They've been pushing things off, borrowing money and not paying bills or paying bills later and pushing things and, smoke and mirrors kind of things, trying to get through one fiscal year to the next based on basically trying to avoid pain with an eye on the next election, which is perfectly understandable. That's how normal, it's a lot of us human beings are not great financial planners, but the problem is they're doing it on a very big scale. And we're talking billions of dollars. It's a problem.
That can go on, it seems like, for a while, at least with the same party in charge. We had Democrats controlling both the legislature and the governor's office, but now you bring in a Republican governor. He's talking about things he wants to see done differently, and he, of course, is doing this amid this budget backdrop. That seems to really have pushed this to the forefront.
Well, I think the key thing that makes having a Republican governor, divided government, which is what we have now, different than would have been otherwise. I think we would still be in this crisis, but now you have this other political dynamic. Number one, you've got this the new governor who doesn't have a stake in all the old deals and the old processes, and he's from a political party that can, to some extent, with justification, say that they've been the out party for a long time, and they have, it's not their problem. So they can come in and say, let's shake it up, let's do things differently. Also, he was elected on that I think pretty clear mandate that this is, there's problems with state government. He was brought in to fix them. He's an outsider to government, and he doesn't have a lot of, one might say, understanding of how government works, and maybe that's a good thing.
Well, we've seen other new governors, even when they're working with their own party, sometimes have trouble when they first get going. Is that part of the issue here? Do you think that Governor Rauner just has not found the right spot of being able to negotiate the way he needs to, or is this part of his plan?
Well, and that's, that I just don't know. I mean, I'm probably a few people in his inner circle know, and the governor knows himself. But that raises the question. Some of these sort of, one might say, rookie mistakes. I mean, because he is new, and even though he's had other important jobs before, he's made a lot of money. So, he says he never failed in anything he ever tried. That's all well and good, but he hasn't been governor before. And being governor is a very complicated job. It's a lot of stuff going on. Just trying to keep track of everything is hard enough, much less to move policy in a direction that you think it should be going. So he's learning. But the question is, are some of these things that look like rookie mistakes really rookie mistakes, or are they some kind of master plan? For example, one of the things that he did right out of the box was go after unions, especially public sector unions, and in a very significant way. Many of your listeners will have heard him speak because he went to every Rotary Club and VFW around the state, talking about how unions were the biggest problem we had, and public sector unions in particular were really causing problems. And this was something we didn't see in the general election. He didn't talk about this at all in the general election. He did in the primary. He came right out. He's inaugurated. Boom. He's on the rant against the unions. And some observers, myself included, you look at this and you say, well, why is he doing that? Why is he spending his political capital annoying the unions? In particular, even if you think that what he's saying is correct, it was pretty clear that it wasn't going to happen in the state. And he wasn't very successful in getting a lot of traction on this, even in most of the places that he spoke. And so the question was, did he just miscalculate? Did he really think he was going to get this through in some sense? And or is it some part of some master plan? You know, who knows? You know, when he writes his memoir, I guess we'll find out. But right now, it's not clear.
We're talking with Chris Mooney. He is the director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. And we're talking about his most recent article, talking about a top 10 list of the reasons Illinois is in the fiscal mess it's in. Well, in fairness to Governor Rauner, a lot of the problems have built up over several years. They were not on his watch, but they were on some legislative leaders' watches, including the House Speaker Michael Madigan. And he and Governor Rauner certainly have been at loggerheads during this entire budget battle. What's going on there? How do you foresee that?
Yeah, this is probably an important part of this whole dynamic right now. And again, it's as an external observer, it's hard to know exactly what's going on, you know, in the sort of personal and political dynamic. But what appears to be the case is you've got the speaker who has been the speaker for 30 years, you know, with a little two-year hiatus at one point. He is extraordinarily good at what he does. He gets what he wants when he wants it. He doesn't want everything. His agenda is fairly limited, but when he wants something, he gets it, and he's used to winning. And we then into this mix, you get Governor Rauner, who is also used to winning, is also a very successful at what he's done in the past, though he's never been governor before. The way I put it is two alpha dogs, right? You got the guy. It's like the dog in the lot who's running the show, and a new dog shows up and challenges him, and that's kind of what it looks like. And they're both digging in their heels. It becomes, you know, in some sense personal, or at least politically personal. So who's going to win? The biggest question, I think, at this point for both of them is to try to figure out a way, find a solution that they can both walk away and say that they won, because they really put a lot of their political egos at stake in this, and that makes it tough to back away from.
And we've seen that in the past. Usually when things get into these types of stalemates, in the end, they can all come out together and sort of claim at least some partial victory, and that they all, you know, bent a little bit, but they also got something in return.
Well, it doesn't look like we're in the vicinity of that happening right now. I think that's what it's going to take to get this resolved, right? I don't think somebody's, you know, I don't think you know, Rauner's going to cry uncle and just give up, or Madigan, on the other hand. I think they have to come to a compromise, a solution that they can both, you know, claim victory and walk away. But I don't know what that would be, and I haven't even heard much talk about what kind of parameters would that be, and that's what makes it a little worrisome. Here we are almost a month now into the new fiscal year without a budget, with no end in sight. We've been this far into fiscal year before, but you know, it seems like there's a smaller issue, set of issues, or there's a way of getting forward. And right now, there's no end in sight.
You also cite something that we've talked about before, but that is that Illinois, unlike a lot of other states, did not take some of the actions that may have been more prudent when the economy really went into its collapse after 2008.
Yeah. Every state in the country was in a deficit situation, except for North Dakota, because they've had all that shale oil up there, in fiscal year 2009. So just during and after the big crisis, when the stock market was, you know, when the Dow Jones was at 6,000 and unemployment was in double digits and so forth. Illinois just did not do as much. For example, California had a budget deficit, I think it was in December of 2008, which would have been the middle of fiscal year 2009, where it was estimated at $50 billion as a deficit. That's an extraordinary, I mean, it's a big state, but that's a lot of money to be in deficit, right? It was worse than our sort of annual deficit at the time. But, you know, Jerry Brown came in, and who knew, the guy turned into a fiscal conservative somewhere along the way between the 80s and the 2010s, and focused like a laser beam on getting that budget down, and did a lot of cutting. There was some taxes being raised, and they continue to be focused on that, and they got rid of that deficit, and they're actually doing relatively well now. And that's the same for most other states. But, you know, for whatever reason, Illinois didn't really – I mean, there were cuts. There were major cuts in Medicaid. They did actually a whole series of cuts there, some of which are being, you know, reversed in the last couple of years. And we passed a temporary tax increase, but the temporary tax increase became really temporary in January, and that put us back where we originally were.
It also gets back to the point of the tax system itself in Illinois does not take advantage of really what has become more of a service economy, and that would include most likely some type of adjustment of the sales tax.
Yeah, we've got, you know, there's several flaws in our tax regime. The biggest one is probably sales tax. I mean, the sales tax and income tax make up, you know, the bulk of the revenue that comes into the state. But our sales tax is, you know, the base is very narrow. You know, I bought sunglasses at an optical store and I didn't pay tax on them. But I bought them over at Target, I would have paid tax on them. You know, if you go to the, you know, you go to a lawyer and you pay him $1,000 to make out a will for you or whatever, you don't pay tax on that. But, you know, you go to a funeral home and buy a casket, you do. I mean, it you know, it's basically we pay tax on goods that we buy, but we don't pay taxes on services. And that means that in order to, you know, there's two components to any tax in terms of yield and your revenue. It's the base and the rate. In other words, the base is what you tax, and then the rate is the percentage that you tax on them. So if your base is small, like ours is, only on goods and goods and not services, then you have to have a much higher rate. And we do. We've got a pretty high sales tax rate. If what we did instead was to broaden that sales tax base to, you know, include dry cleaning and lawyers and accountant services and so forth, then we could bring that rate way down and get the same amount of money. What it would do would be it would solve some of the problems of having a high rate, which are people try to avoid it, right? If you've got to pay 10% tax in Cook County, maybe if you go down across the border into Whiting, Indiana, you can pay a lot lower tax. So maybe you go down there to buy a refrigerator, or maybe you go down there to buy something else. But if the rates are relatively low and you're paying it more or less the same in every state and every county, and you're paying, you know, then the tax doesn't come in your consideration of your activities. And economists will tell you what you want in tax is a tax that doesn't change people's economic decisions.